I was the actual founder of Experimental Intermedia in 1968, and who was a choreographer, and she was interested in film dance. And she invited Phil Niblock to be a member of Experimental Intermedia. And then eventually, after 20, 25 years, she decided she would leave Experimental Intermedia and gave it over to Phil, who then became the sole director. But in the beginning, Elaine had her space at 537 Broadway, where Nam June Paik and Shigeko Kubota and many choreographers were. And Phil was at 224 Center. So that was kind of more the dance, intermediate dance. And Experimental Intermediate on Center Street was more the music film side. And Elaine is actually the reason that Phil, or the impetus how Phil started filmmaking, because somehow they met in the 60s and he was doing photography and she was interested in film, and she got a 16 millimeter camera and she said, like, you know, do you want to try to explore this together? And he was already extremely technical with photography and lenses and things, and so he said sure. And so he was her cinematographer for some early pieces. And the first piece we're going to see is actually Phil is the cinematographer. So, and actually in the room today we have Neil, who I just found out I didn't know. He worked for Elaine at the 537 Broadway
Wayne,
Loft.
Wayne,
so,
Wayne,
sorry.
Yeah.
And he, if you have questions about that.
I put up drywall and hung speakers and, you know, did stuff like that.
Yeah, but if people have questions about how it was, like, I was never there. I only know the Center
Street. Beautiful space. So I just,
And so we're going to start with the very beginning of the screening is an introduction by Thomas Karatsvilisi, I think is how it's pronounced. And he was a student of hers and a disciple. And he decided to be the director of her artistic estate, though her archive, the important part of her archive is owned by NYPL Library for the Performance Arts, the dance section. So he's going to give an introduction and say a little bit about the films. And we have to thank the New York Public Library and I think the Jerome Rob. He thanks everyone in that video. So he gives a little 10-minute introduction. And then we have five or six films by Elaine. Some are silent. So enjoy. And we're just going to let it roll. Oh, and someone, Bradley or someone, can you just turn that switch off? Yeah, perfect.
Hello and good evening. My name is Thomas Karatsvilisi, and I am the executive director of the artistic estate of Elaine Summers. I welcome you to this special concert, which is concluding the Elaine Summers centennial celebrations of 2025. On behalf of the artistic estate, it is my special pleasure to greet you tonight, and I am very happy that we are having a kind of homecoming of Elaine's work back to the Experimental Intermedia Foundation, hosted tonight very kindly by various artists on Essex Street here in New York City. As some of you may know, Elaine founded this very organization in the Experimental Intermedia Foundation in 1968. And she did this on the experience of her work at Judson Dance Theatre, the collective of various choreographers, composers, visual artists, who all started working together and creating dances that were quite revolutionary for that time. This was the early 1960s, all inspired by the chance method that Robert Dunn taught at the Merce Cunningham Dance Studio, and all the various influences from Anna Halperin and others that found their way into this collective and this group of people, who had various people coming in and out, but there was a core group of people, and Elaine Summers was one of those people. I would like to thank Catherine Liberoskaya for organizing this concert. I would like to thank the board of directors of the Experimental Intermedia Foundation for the work and that they continue to do all this work all this time. I would like to thank various artists for hosting this event and for all the people before and behind the screens in the scene that made sure that this event is possible tonight. I would also give a special extension of thanks to the heirs of Elaine Summers and very much the New York Public Library, and there specifically the Jerome Robbins Dance Division, because it is by their courtesy that tonight we can show all these films and film works by Elaine Summers. I don't want to talk too long about the single specific works, but a few things I would like to mention in advance. First of all, Phil Nunlock has been involved in two of the three of the five works, namely Absence and Presence, which Elaine completed in 1984 and started in 1968, and Walking Dance for Any Number. And in both cases, he was involved as a cinematographer, so he was doing camera work while Elaine was directing the beginnings and the outcome of the works. As Elaine once said in an interview at Bennington College in 1982 with the Judson Project, she felt at some point that film just wasn't doing for dance what it was supposed to do. And to correct this, she started learning filmmaking from Gene Friedman. And that led to a first collaboration with Friedman and John Herbert McDowell, which opened the very first Concert of Dance, number one, in 1962. It was a film that was based on a chance mechanism, just like Robert Dunn had propagated. And based on an idea of Robert Dunn, the film was started 15 minutes before the concert began, and people had to walk through the film projection in order to get to their seats. And so as the film hit the people, you can say that in a way it created the first moment of what Elaine later made her hallmark and her way of doing intermedia, which is when film merges with live performance and it creates a third thing that is the best of both, and it can only happen if the two work together in very specific ways. In her work with film and dance, Elaine was very interested in what film could do that dance could not. So, for example, to move extremely rapidly or very, very, very slowly, or to float in the air. All of the works that you'll see tonight, you can experience as dancers in their own rights as well. A few things about the works themselves. Walk and Dance for Any Number is a modular work, and if you will, a kind of almost like a toolbox for exploring intermedia. So Elaine created four edits of film footage that she shot together with Phil Nunlock of her walking in New York City. And those four edits are almost the same length. And if you put all four together, you almost create a kind of jigsaw puzzle that, you know, two of the same, one is the same, and so on, like a quartet. And you can just watch one of them, you can watch two at the same time, you can watch three at the same time, or all four, and you can arrange them however you wish, so you can project them wherever you wish, that's your decision. And at the same time, there's also a dance score. The dance score is pretty simple. It's about walking, and you can enter with any walk that you like. You continue the walk as long as you're interested, and you have to keep the walk exactly like it is. Articulation, the pace, how fast you do it, how slow, the energy, all kinds of little quirks and details. And when you want to change, you have to stop in mid-step, take a moment to be in the present, and let your body expand itself. And when your body eventually loses the balance and you kind of almost fall, the catching of your balance is what generates the new walk. And again, you keep that as long as you want, etc., etc., etc. Then there is Absence and Presence, which is, I'll just leave you to it and see how you like it. It's a very special film, I find, in many, many ways, and it took Lane a very long time to finish it. Windows in the Kitchen was created originally as an intermedia work, where Elaine would film the dancer, Matt Turney, who is the star of the film Dance, during the day at the kitchen in its loft, probably on Broome Street at the time. And then they would project the film onto the windows of the kitchen so that you can see it from the outside at night. And there was a whole concert that was held at the kitchen, I think in 1976 or 77, one of those years. Either way, the dancer Matt Turney had just stopped working with the Martha Graham Company. She had become very, very famous as one of the most prominent African-American dancers of her time, who worked with Martha Graham and who had been basically the epitome of a modern dancer. And so for Matt Turney, it was quite a different thing to get in and out of her options that she was used to as a dancer. And you can see how the film plays with going between almost pedestrian movement and very clearly, you know, what we recognize as dance movement, because it's more like what we're used to in dancing. The music was created by Jay Clayton, and if you like Steve Reich's recordings from the 70s and 80s, you have heard her sing on his recordings more than once. And next to that, Jay Clayton has been a wonderful composer, musician, improviser in her own right, and I warmly invite you to listen to more of her works, which are available on records, etc., etc. The camera person for this work, which was created by all the women, basically, is Paula Court. Finally, I would like to talk about Ivo Blizzard. In 1972, Elaine met Hans Breda, who had begun a department of intermediate at Iowa State University. And he invited her to be artist in residence so that she could work with the students there. And in 1972, she came there for the first time and created Two Girls Down to Iowa, which we'll see tonight. And in 1973, she arrived after what had been the worst blizzard in history, pretty much at that time. So the next day, Hans Breda asked her what she would like to do. And she said she'd always wanted to have lots of dancers on a large field of snow. And lo and behold, they found a field of snow, and Hans Breda could get his intermediate students to volunteer as dancers. And there was no time, really. You know, everything happened just on the run. So Elaine would give instructions to the dancers while the cameras were running. And then Bill Rowley made overlays of four of these film recordings and overlay them and experiment what you could do with that. And what I love about this movie and this film dance is that you can see and experience not just the poetry of what you can do with film and rhythm and a kind of musicality, but also the sheer kinesthetic delight of people who just jump and leap and fall and turn and spin and twist and are having a really, really good time. And there again, you see that with Elaine's work and her intermediate work, it is very special about inviting you to, you know, look at your own preferences and what do you like and what do you not like. So, especially since it's the time of season, let me wish you, as Elaine liked to say, merry dancing. Have a wonderful concert.
And I forgot to tell you that he's based in Rotterdam. So this is Walking Dance for Any Number. So this was also made in Iowa at mm-hmm. the residency at the Intermediate Department of Iowa University. Thank you. excited that, I forgot to say that this year, Elaine Summers would have been 100 years old, so there was a lot of events in the context of her centennial. And another thing is that all of these films were meant to be often used with live dancers performing alongside them or interacting with them or throwing shadows on them, etc. So none were meant to be a film to be sitting in a room like they're sitting, but this is how we're seeing it today. So I hope you enjoyed it, and yeah, you can ask Wayne any questions about Elaine's students, Elaine Summers Studio. And thank you for coming. And we still have two more events, two more evenings on the 16th at Harvest Works. We have a young composer from Brazil based in Berlin called Mariana Carvalho. And then on the 19th at Friedman Gallery, we have Daphne Vicente Sandoval from Paris. And then a second set by Kristen Nordeval with Miguel Frasconi. So we have more schedules up front if you want to take it, or visit our website at www.experimentalintermedia.org. Thank you for coming.